Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are now listening to our seventh episode. In this episode, I'd like to feature an interview I recently recorded with Chris Barchet. Chris is a member of our class of 2018 and a Gemba format student in our Roslyn section. And I recently sat down to talk with Chris a little bit about his decision to come to Darden and his experience so far as a Gemba format student. But before we get to that interview, a couple quick admissions updates. For those of you who are interested in applying to the executive formats of the Darden MBA, remember our next deadline is November 27. We're here to help in any way we can. As we always note on these podcasts, you can connect with us by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu, also by phone, and in person are what we term office hours appointments. So we're here to help in any way we can. If you have questions about Darden's executive formats, the structure or design of the program, or even just application questions, let us know. Reach out. We're here to help. In addition, we will have a mini case discussion here in the Washington, D.C. area. In the last episode of the podcast, I talked in more detail about this event, but if you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode yet, know that this event will include a case discussion led by Greg Fairchild. Greg is a member of the Darden faculty and our Dean for D.C. initiatives. It will also include a networking reception. So after the case discussion, you'll have an opportunity to meet some current students, other prospective students, maybe even a few alumni. So hope you'll consider joining us for that event. The event is on November 1. Here in Roslyn, which is in Arlington, right across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. Additional details about the event can be found on our website if you go to the events listing. So, without further ado, my interview with Chris Barchet. Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, so tell us a little bit more about yourself. What's your background? How'd you end up here at Darden?
Sure. So, I grew up in the Northern Virginia area, did my undergraduate degree at University of Virginia, so one of the double who's in the class. So after that, I joined Army ROTC my second year at UVA. So after graduating, I commissioned as an officer in the Army into logistics, and I spent the better part of 8 years as an Army officer. So I was overseas in Germany and then places in the Middle East and then back and finished up in Georgia outside of Savannah. So after 8 years, made the decision to get out, and in searching for the job, you know, I found a great program for transitioning military officers at JP Morgan Chase. So I'm working at JP Morgan Chase up in Wilmington, Delaware, and living in Philadelphia. So it's been 2 years or so now that I've been up there. And yeah, soon after I got it, I guess leading into the Darden route and selecting the MBA, I kind of always toyed with the idea of going to grad school. And my undergraduate degree was in foreign affairs and Mandarin Chinese, so I, you know, no business tracked me under there. But I had toyed with the idea of getting a graduate degree, and it was really a decision of, do I want to do an MBA or something different? So I wrestled with that for a little while. And when I got out, I had the GI Bill, which has been a great advantage, and in particular here at Darden and public schools. So as I got out, JP Morgan Chase, the program time sponsors us and encourages all the military officers to get MBAs, which is very unique about the company. So that was kind of what cued me to do it. So I got it together, did the GMAT study, applied, and, you know, landed on Darden. So,
and now you're here on the Exec MBA podcast.
Yeah.
Dreams do come
really
true.
Yeah.
So what is it about Darden that resonated with you?
Everything, really. I mean, you know, it's an easy answer, but so, you know, of course, I love UVA, having, you know, been to Charlottesville before, and it's just an incredible place and a very interesting university. But with Darden, I think the entire experience for me was rewarding, kind of from start to finish. I thought so. For one, I really love the case format and doing case studies, and I think that pedagogy, that method of learning, really resonated with me and is something that I think I knew would be more effective. I liked Darden's approach, the general management approach, and kind of the way they did that. And then, too, I mean, dealing with you on the admissions committee and everybody else, I thought that it was a very welcoming process throughout, just very engaged. You kind of just wanted to be a part of it. There was an energy, I think, going through it just felt like the right place to be. And then, you know, on top of that, I've seen my observation of Darden is just it's a school that wants to innovate and wants to do better and is flexible in how the program. I mean, we were the first ones here in Roslyn, and then they changed, you know, the way the Gemba format is, and that made it more palatable and one of the reasons I'm doing it. So it just spoke to me as a school that is looking to the future, changing. It's just got a great program.
Yeah, you've been one of the pioneers here in Roslyn, as we sometimes in admissions refer to your class, because you're the first class that could have ever considered or chosen Roslyn as an option. And it was big news. We announced it in February of 2016, and we ended up with 60 students in your class in Roslyn, which is more than we ever anticipated for that first class.
Yeah.
How's your experience been? You know, we always get this question about Roslyn being a lighter version or like a satellite version or somehow a compromised version of Darden. Our experience being around here for the weekend residencies is that it's not, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think that at all. The way the program is structured is kind of no matter what choice you do, be it Roslyn or Charlottesville or Gemba or Emba, you're going to spend time in all locations. So, I mean, something not to forget is that the Charlottesville folks come up to Roslyn on the weekends when everybody's gone abroad. So, I don't at all think it's watered down. It's just kind of a, you know, this fits better with your life and the commuting's better. And you know, for me coming from Philadelphia, much as I'd love to be in Charlottesville, this is a perfect, you know, medium for me. It's much easier for me to get in and out. That, you know, was the main sticking point. But it's great. I mean, you build a Darden family with each section independently, and then, you know, you get different mixes of people on every trip abroad. So I've got four different opportunities and four different mixes there. So, I mean, you get to bond with people across the class no matter what you do. So it's, you know, it's a starting point to say you've chosen to be in Roslyn or Charlottesville. But the truth is, you're going to be in Charlottesville, you're going to be in Roslyn, you're going to be abroad. So you're going to hit all those places and meet all your classmates.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes the program great from a student standpoint, the fact that you meet all these people. A little complex from describing it.
I can never get the sound bite right when people ask me about it. You know, I have to be like, well, all right, are you sitting down? Let me explain.
Yeah, that's right. Here's how the quarters work. And then they're like, what quarters?
You know? You have 10 of them in 2 years?
Yeah, exactly. So you get a little inside baseball. But the nice, you know, we talk about the global residencies in particular a lot in those global quarters because, you know, you have the global residencies where you have EMBA and GEMBA students traveling together. Of course, GEMBA students do all four trips. EMBA students do one, perhaps two of the four global residencies. And then you have a group of students who are not traveling who all combined here in Roslyn. And so you have different groupings in both locations on the global trip and here in Roslyn. Every time there's a global residency offered. And so to your point, like maximization of networking opportunities and meeting everybody in the program, how have the trips been, to ask you a really, really broad question? I mean, you've now been on three of the four global residencies. What stands out in terms of your takeaway from those trips?
So first of all the trips have been fantastic. I just love it. So to one point, you know, the way you bond with people, I think because the Gembas, it's the smallest group when you kind of sub-segment down, right? And it's 25 of us or something like that. So the Gembas, I found that we really bond pretty tightly because we're always on those trips and you just kind of have this unique experience. But then two things stand out to me about the trips that I really like more than being domestic is one, you get the full momentum of learning that comes with a week solid of learning. So you kind of get in that track and you're just in it. And I think it helps you dig in. I mean, it also means that the prep leading up to it is harder because you've got to prep a week's worth of class, you know, amidst the rest of the quarter in your regular life, which is challenging. But you can do it. And the great thing is learning teams allow you to, you know, efficiently do that work and kind of help each other out. But then the other thing I like about being abroad is that you get everybody's undivided attention. And I think that's something here is whether you're in Charlottesville or Roslyn, you know, you've got some people that are going to go home, you know, with their families one night or both nights, or people just are, their attention is a little more divided, right? And, you know, because you're closer to life. But I think when you're abroad, it's so nice because everybody's just there and with each other. And so you get to spend a lot more time getting to know your classmates in a way that you probably wouldn't on as much, you know, when you're domestic.
Mm-hmm. So you have now been to China, Western Europe, South Africa. India is next. That will be next quarter. One of the questions I asked one of your classmates, Ryan Slevin, and had this conversation with her in Charlottesville, is, you know, if you're describing the global residencies to a student who's trying to wrap their head around, like, what goes on, you know, how would you describe these trips? I mean, we can use one of the residencies as an example, you know, something like China, or we could talk more abstractly about it.
Well, I guess do a little both. So One, they're a whirlwind. They fly by and they pack more into a week than you think you could do. And I'll do South Africa. I loved South Africa. And I traveled a fair amount before, and South Africa is the only country I had not been to. So this was particularly exciting for me to get down there and see something totally different. So that trip, you know, you fly in, and most people try and get there maybe a day in advance just to kind of acclimate and get set. So you get to meet your classmates, figure out what's going on, catch up, and you got a day to explore the city you're in. So we flew into Johannesburg, or Joburg here more colloquially.
That's right.
So we went there, and you've got a mix, and this will depend on what the different visits are. So it's a mix of class, and you know the hotels will have different, basically conference meeting rooms that are set up to host events like having a class there, and then we mix that with company visits. And so in South Africa, that included a visit to the South African Reserve Bank, which was absolutely fascinating. Some brilliant people there, and then we went to a gold mine and a winery down. And so in any residency, this is important too, is midway through, I think it's always on Wednesday, you transition cities or countries. So in China, we went from Beijing to Shanghai via high-speed rail, which was really interesting. And that was the day, actually, of the American election, the presidential election, which is an interesting time to be in China and together. And based on the timeline unfolding, we kind of like watched the results live, which was that was an interesting experience. And then in Europe, we flew from Paris to Berlin, and then South Africa, it was Johannesburg, now to Cape Town. And so the weeks, like I said, they pack it in. So sometimes you have class in the morning for 4 or 5 hours. Sometimes it's in the afternoon. It really depends on how they want to balance that with the company visits. So your day is jam-packed, and then at night, you hit dinner, and then you're going to go grab drinks with your classmates or do something. So your sleep is minimal, but you can sleep on your back or when That's you're right. dead or something. But it's
you got that kind of rock and roll mentality.
Yeah. But it's busy. You just kind of pack it in and like turn the switch on, and the week flies by before you know it. But it's a blast.
So how do you feel the global residencies have affected you as a leader, or impacted you as somebody who is, obviously you're working, you're doing things in your job. How do you think just having these trips and this time and these places that are a little different than the United States?
I think it allows you a couple things. One, it allows you time to kind of think and step outside. You're leaving the country, it's easier to like turn your phone off and just be engaged there and really thinking about some of these issues. So, and you think about how we're viewed in a different context, like how do they view the United States and what's it like, what are your perceptions doing business there and how do those mix with each other? So I think it just helps to broaden and cultivate your viewpoint of both business, your worldview. You kind of hit everything, but I think it allows you kind of step outside of your normal day-to-day life and, get a different look, I think that's the biggest thing. So graduate, like any degree program is going to cultivate you, educationally, and you're going to think more broadly about any range of issues. But I think it almost just adds to the compounding rate sort of it when you're abroad. I think it's just a better environment to do that in. It naturally just kind of lends itself to.
So let's talk about something that you said was important as you made your decision and you thought about Darden. So I've been talking about the case method with a lot of people on the podcast because it is a really important differentiator for us. Darden being one of the two case method schools in the MBA market, and of course an exec, obviously like the one case method school in the market. So how would you, what would you highlight for someone who's just looking to learn a little bit more about the case method? How would you tell them to think about what that really means for your learning experience? Yeah.
So I think I'm so surprised that more schools don't do the case method. It's kind of like going through it. It's perplexing to me that they don't, and I'm sure there's good reasons. But so it's a way to kind of have skin in the game when you're learning these topics. And I think, like anything, it's one thing, and I think academics get hit on this, is, you think in an academic sort of vacuum. Mm-hmm. But the case method helps you get outside of that and look at, okay, we're talking about these problems that aren't theoretical. They're applied, and how do we apply that, or how can we better apply the tools that we use in business school? And you get to see that come to life on the page. So the nice thing about the case method, so you're the cases are some business case, and sometimes they're 2 pages long, and it's a problem to think about. And sometimes they're 20 or 30 pages long, and they're, you know, they'll have financial exhibits and everything. But you read the case, and you have to kind of – you have to figure out what you're talking about. What are the circumstances? What are my assumptions here? And try and solve that problem as if you were the decision maker faced with that problem. And it's a great way to learn because you're forced to take a stab at it, and you're probably going to get, you know, in particular for the finance cases, is maybe you'll get an 80% solution or 85 or less or more or whatever. But, and then you come to class with that, you know, sort of solution, and it gets refined and you get the answers, and you kind of get to go back and take a lap around and say, it makes sense now, I get it. So for me personally, like, why I like that is I just think that I tend to learn better when I have skin in the game. And the other half of the case method, it builds into this, is that there's a lot of dialogue back and forth between the professors and the students. And so you learn in a sort of Socratic method where we're all contributing. And, you know, they'll be like, you know, hey, what's, you know, what do you think about this? What's going on here? Walk me through that, where it's not just a lecture. I think in a lecture, it's much easier to sit back and learn passively and zone it out or whatever. But at Darden, you don't really get a chance to disengage like that. I mean, maybe for parts of a class, but in every one, you have to read the case. You have an active role in solving that. You're accountable to answer questions. You know, the famous cold call, you know, is just, and there's a cold call button, which I found out about recently.
Oh, yeah?
It's on a program they've got, like, it's like a random number generator, and your name and face will pop up. One of the professors showed it to us. So when they want to randomly get you, they really can
Is that patented technology?
I don't know. I didn't know it existed until last quarter. But it's, you know, it's really interesting, and the anxiety of the cold call, I mean, you have accountability to prepare. So, like I said, for me, that was very useful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have skin in the game. I liked the idea of reading real cases and the conversation back and forth. I think it makes you also more confident. You know, Darden also trains you to think like you're in a boardroom. Mm-hmm. And I think by volunteering and contributing so much, it helps refine your confidence and build mm-hmm. your confidence to contribute in a board setting. You know, and so I think that's a very useful skill that's maybe underplayed and not talked about enough at other business programs. Or
I sat through a corporate advisory board meeting at Darden one time, and one of the folks was saying that he felt that what people really needed from an MBA program was comfort level with having a perspective, you know, being able to make decisions, like not just say here are five options, mm-hmm. but to be able to say, yeah, these are five options, but this is what I think should be done here. Seems to me, as somebody who's a little bit outside of the learning process, but the case method forces you to make a choice, to say like, no, this is what I think we should do, and here are the reasons, and let me tell you why. Do you feel like that's true, or, you know, is it more nuanced than that? Or?
I think that is true. And you know, you're forced to make a decision, and a lot of times there isn't a right decision. Mm-hmm. And that's important to know, too, is that there are decisions, and you need to understand why you're making that decision and what the effects are. You know, I mean, you can't decision analysis. You look at, hey, these are options, and these mm-hmm. are percentages of what, you know, how many times this would work out if, you know, if we ran this model a million times. Mm-hmm. But it still doesn't give you the right answer. I mean, it could not go well, right?
Right.
You know, many times in the cases, like the leading organizations one, you can't, you know, you can't know the counterfactuals, right? Mm-hmm. And so they'll say, hey, here's the setup, here's the case, and here's the B case, which the B case, or sometimes up to C and D cases, are the answers that actually happen. And they'll give you more information, mm-hmm. and then you continue to iterate in decision making, mm-hmm. or just find out what happened. And the B case is what happened. It doesn't necessarily mean that was the right choice, you know, mm-hmm. it was just a choice. I think that's the interesting part about it too, is that you know, sometimes there aren't right answers.
Yeah, absolutely. People always talk about process, right? It's all about how you get to the end point. And that's where you spend all your time at Darden. There's certainly a lot of discussion around that. So, you know, a little bit more of a broad question too, is sort of how do you feel the program generally has affected or impacted you as a leader, as somebody who, you know, you're going through this, it's an intensive period, there's a lot of growth and self-reflection. You know, do you feel like now that you're 13 months in that you think about problems in a different way or work with people in a different way? Or
I do. I think I definitely think about problems in, you know, the amount of knowledge that's been crammed in my brain in the last, mm-hmm. you know, year and some change has been incredible. So just objectively from a knowledge base, not necessarily as a leader, I mean, as a leader, I feel more informed mm-hmm. And more confident to make business decisions. And I mean, this has helped me tremendously transition into JP Morgan Chase in the military. Mm-hmm. And I think it's complemented leadership skills that I developed in the military have been complemented very much by this experience here. And I think one of the great things, I suppose any business school experience is a peer leadership. And that's, you know, you come from the military, it's one form of leadership. Mm-hmm. But then this is, you know, you're dealing with much more peer-to-peer mm-hmm. in different groups and learning teams. And, you know, how do you assert yourself? How do you guide groups and decision-making process? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you, excuse me, make and defend your case like for any decision? So mm-hmm. I think that's good, too. It's just a different dynamic. And yeah. So I think it's an opportunity to practice, like, how you handle that versus anything else.
Yeah, we do talk in the admissions process that there, you know, people think of leadership as capital L, like macro leadership, you know, mm-hmm. you know, 400,000 employee company being the right. CEO or something like that. But there's all sorts of more micro examples yeah. and opportunities to practice leadership in the program, learning teams, as you mentioned, just, you know, even, you know, how you interact with your peers when you come right. together and all these things. I mean, it's sort of woven into the fabric, I think, yeah. of the program generally. So, you know, you got 7-8 more months. You got your next, that's right. Next global residency, last global residency. Are you going to do a Darden Worldwide course or any global electives?
I would love to do it. It's not completely out of the question yet, but, you know, it's more time away and, we'll see. I know people are talking about Japan and that would be, it's been 10 years or something since I've been to Japan. So I would love to do it. Mm-hmm. We'll see. As I mentioned before, I get married in a couple of weeks. And at some point, we've got to fit in a honeymoon. So I don't know. Japan could be fun.
Japan's Darden Worldwide course doesn't sound like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that, yeah,
so we'll see.
That course sounds awesome. It's what, operations, right?
Something like that? I can't remember.
I think it's one of your classmates.
But I tell you, I mean, with Darden, it's just... There's so you want more. You want to maximize. You know, you want to do all the Darden Worldwide courses, and I want to take this elective and that elective, yeah. and you know, it comes down to how much time you can allocate to it. So it's a good problem to have.
Well, I mean, as an outsider, somebody who was you know, obviously knew you as a prospective student and has sort of been around for some of these weekend residencies, I can't believe that y'all are now in the 13th month. I mean, unbelievable how quickly it goes by. And we have a, you know, class of 2019. We're working on the class of 2020 now. And, you know, you got 7 or 8 months left. What are you looking forward to the most? Or, you know, what do you hope to accomplish in sort of, you know, as you work through the second half of the program?
I'm really excited about the electives. It's just there's so many interesting classes. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a wealth of choice. So, and I will say, you know, Darden has done a fantastic job structuring electives and making it, you know, flexible options. So you can go to Charlottesville, you can mm-hmm. do Charlottesville and Roslyn, mm-hmm. and they'll work with you to, you know, figure out any range. You've got asynchronous options. So there's so many good courses, and I'm excited because I'll get to spend some more time down in Charlottesville, which will be nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for a couple of those classes.
Any particular courses?
I'm doing competitive dynamics, which I heard is very good.
Can you explain that for the lay people? I don't, for example, your counterpart in this conversation. So
yeah, I think, I mean, if you're looking at how competition works in the marketplace.
Yeah,
you
know, okay.
How do you perceive competitors and do some strategic analysis around that? Entrepreneurial thinking, private equity, and entrepreneurial finance. So all the, I just think, will be really neat to wrap my head around and get a chance to do. And some of the professors, you know, you hear rave reviews about certain professors and want to get into some of those classes. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be a great time, and, you know, it'll be exciting too. It's just, you know, Darden's one of those great experiences where, you know, it's so much work and it can be painful at times, but, you know, it's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Graduating, you're going to look in the rearview mirror and be happy that you're done, but then, you know, you kind of miss seeing everybody every couple of weeks and, you know, catching up overseas. So it's bittersweet as we come up on the end.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thing that always struck me. You get to graduation, you're around folks and you're talking to them maybe on the day before graduation. They have a big picnic for everybody and you sort of hang out and say, oh, how do you feel? And you feel great to be done and so excited to have, you know, sort of time back, mm-hmm. but also a little bit sentimental about the fact that they won't, you know, be able to come to class and have these discussions and be around this group of people. And I will say, a working professional MBA coming here and recruiting for the program, I didn't anticipate hearing that. I thought I was just going to hear a lot of the, oh, so glad to have my schedule back and, you know, yeah, I've got time again. I did not anticipate that sort of like, yeah, man, I'm going to really miss.
Yeah, we built some great relationships. And, you know, a lot of the classes, I mean, by Sunday, you're very tired. But, yeah, the classes are fascinating. There's a lot of great discussions that happen. And it's just, it's fun to mm-hmm. be learning something and doing that. But it's, yeah, it's definitely mm-hmm. bittersweet. You know, we're going to have to really make a conscious effort. And, you know, I don't live in D.C. now. Whether I will in the future, I don't know. But, you know, make an effort to see people and, yeah, you know, figure out our own class reunion. So,
well, good. Yeah, yeah. I will say that's something that Darden definitely tries to do a lot is have reunions. It's the only school I've ever been to that has a one-year reunion. Oh, yeah, it's fascinating. Awesome. Come back immediately.
Well, I also have worked this. I didn't mean to do this, but yeah, my undergrad was in 2008,
yeah,
and I'll graduate in 2018. So now I get to go down one-stop shop, yeah, yeah, UVA and Darden, and hit it on the eights, you know?
Yeah. That is a, I don't know how you grew up here. WTOP, yeah, traffic, yeah, and weather, yeah, on the eighth. Yeah, you basically have accomplished that with your own reunion, yeah, schedule. Yeah. So
that worked out.
Yeah. So last question: if you were talking with a prospective student and they were saying, "Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of different places," you know, but why Darden? What would you stress with that for that, yeah, person?
Sure. So yeah, any prospective students listening, come to Darden. You'll love it. So many reasons. It's a great place. It's a great community. I mean, to be a part of the University of Virginia, it's just a very special place. And of course, the relation to Jefferson, and it's a very neat place historically. And then the case method, like we talked about, I mean, it's just such a selling point to me. It's a great place to learn. And I alluded to this earlier. It's just, I think the faculty and the administrators really listen to the students and the feedback. And the program is anything but stagnant. It's a place that is always looking to change and looking for the future. And the leaders, you know, Dean Beardsley, and, you know, we've got the new president of UVA coming in. They're just people who are looking to make the program better, to make Darden better for the students, you know, the experience. They really care about the academic pedagogy and how that fits in, constantly iterating on that. And it's just, you know, I look forward, and I think we talk about return on investment with an MBA, which can be a murky thing to try and figure out. But, you know, I think more broadly, I think about, like, where's Darden going to be in 20 years? And I just think the value is going to go up and up and up. And that's one of the things I thought about, was this is a school on the rise continuously. And I mean, they're engaging, embracing. It was just a very welcoming experience, like going through the application process and, you know, being accepted and everything, A to Z. I love the course. I love the approach. It's, yeah, it's fun. And you get to go to Charlottesville and D.C. and abroad. I mean,
can't beat it.
Yeah. You think about some of the other business schools in cities and this and that. And most of us live in cities who are thinking about this. It's a nice place to get a little of everything. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, it's, I can't say enough good things about it. I love Darden, Charlottesville, UVA. It's like, wah, wah.
Well, Chris, thank you for taking time. It's always great to catch up, and yeah, appreciate you being on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Brett.
Chris Barche. Chris is a Gimba format student in our Roslyn section in our class of 2018. If you enjoyed this interview, be sure to check back the podcast for additional interviews. We'll be talking with students, faculty, staff, all sorts of people affiliated with our executive formats in the coming weeks, so be sure to stay in touch. Of course, if you have suggestions, comments, ideas, things that you'd like for us to talk about here on the podcast, let us know. We can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.